Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you. Yes, I am talking to you, brother. To support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In this episode, I'm going to do a deep dive on 0% blame, 0% shame, and the 100% claim game. This is the initiatory rite of passage way into kingship in marriage, and I would say by extension in life. In my own life, and talking with countless of you amazing guys one-on-one and in circle around the world, There's a major emotional pain that men en masse, husbands en masse, are feeling in marriage. There's a lot of undealt with, unskillfully experienced and navigated conflict, with 10 out of 10 loving intentionality on the side of the husband and wife. And yet, this intentionality of love, the yearning of the heart to create something beautiful, gets lost, and there's a deep pain in that. Obviously, I look at through the lens of the masculine heart, the husband's perspective. A lot of times, the feeling and the thought, the perceptual printout of the husband's experiences, feeling like brutally hard done by. Not understood. Like, she doesn't see my efforts. She's always complaining. My best is never good enough. A lot of guys can feel she's very self-centered. She doesn't see him. I don't feel seen or heard or appreciated by her. I don't feel respected by her. There's a deep feeling of resentment in most guys. Can be uncomfortable to admit to it, but behind the scenes, and sometimes it's not so behind the scenes, it's just plain obvious, like straight from the off. It's like I have a deep resentment with her, but it's quite all pervasive, this background resentment of just my best is never good enough with this woman. So I feel your pain. I have experienced this for years without any knowledge of any other way of relieving that, it felt like an inherent truth. This is how she is. This is how she relates with me. Oh my God, like, I love this woman, but how the fuck is this ever going to work? You know, there's an unspoken sense of hopelessness in the background of so many married men's minds where their heart is hurting. The pain of really looking and admitting to that this feels utterly hopeless. My best never seems good enough, and it seems to get worse over time the longer I hang around. I feel that, guys. But I want to say this episode, every episode is aimed at, you know, skyrocketing your hope, and from hope, you know, we get in the game. The fullest getting in the game is taking 100% extreme ownership. I would lead that, you know, I speak to initiations quite often. There's a golden thread and justifiably so at the heart of deep men's work. You know, the coming of age down the ages was always experienced through a set of rituals of initiations that were handed down generation to generation over the centuries, if not the millennia, of how boys would be welcomed into manhood, but it was like to be effectively, energetically, psychologically fucking ripped out of their boyish experience in their nervous system and set into full, you know, I'll use my language, extreme ownership. Well, that's Jocko Willing's language. Extreme ownership mode, 100% taking claim for, it's like, it's all on you. You need to get comfortable in your nervous system, exiting boyhood times when all your nurturing, you know, support, loving, you were held in a nest by your mom, by the women of the village, and there were men tending to you. But to become a man, to be recognized as a man, you had to be rattled out of that. That boy energy, it's beautiful, it's naive, it's childish, and so it should be. There's meant to be this beautiful environment where all your needs are met, and your creative beauty, your talents, your natural spiritual sort of characteristics are allowed to thrive and deepen, and you get that support. But there comes a point to be of immense value to society. If we weren't living in such a profoundly sick society, we would still have these initiations. But powerful men cannot be controlled. So thus, the domination culture that has spread throughout, and this is not putting it, like this is, has been happening for centuries, if not millennia, but you can definitely look in the last 500, 600, 700 years of history, when, travel became more available with the technology, with ships, able to cross the oceans, etc., etc. A domination culture has spread out, which savagely attacked the humans. Obviously, there was lots of genocide, but there was a savage attack on the old traditions, on the cultures, on the culture and the rites of passage, the initiations, because powerful men were too dangerous to the dominating, controlling force. So this is not to sort of go, oh, we're a victim of history. It's like what has happened, what is. But if you're listening in here, you're one of many, 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 many men. I would say 100% of men, unless they have already done some profoundly deep work, that's experiencing a deep struggle. And I would say an unnecessary struggle in your marriage. Initiation, like, I draw the example because I've read it. There's multiple different examples of it, but I just like it. It's because it's so in your face, inarguably just powerful. The sub-Saharan tribe in Africa were, for a boy to be welcomed back into the village and accepted as a man and deemed ready for marriage. Remember, ready for marriage. The initiation of marriage. Had to go out with a spear, with a dagger, with weapons that he had crafted himself, and kill a fully grown lion and drag it back Tarzan style. Remember that scene in Tarzan, the old, was it Christopher Lambert, that's when he became the leader, that's when he became respected, because he killed the, I think it was a black jaguar. That's the potency in that Tarzan scene. It's like an initiation. He becomes the leader. He becomes respected. He's finally honored. So, to hunt down a lion, there's 0% blame thoughts. You can be going out going, fuck this culture, fuck these men, what the fuck do they know? And like, your blame is bullshit, because why? The men that are sending you out, they've done the exact same thing. Blame is like useless. You can blame nobody. You can shame yourself. You can go, I'm a piece of shit. You can be have urine running down your leg. But shaming yourself, it's useless. So blame and shame would be rendered useless, because the boy would know, I cannot go back to the village and join as a man. I can never be joined in the village and accepted as a man unless I confront all my inner demons, which are blame and shame. Escapism thinking. So the boy would come back inarguably a man, because if you're dragging a fully grown dead lion on your shoulder, and multiple other ways and other traditions where similar feats of exceptional courage would leave it inarguable that that boy has now become a man. And it, by and large, you won't hear these, this is the language of this culture, be it husband she brags about in the heroic husbands men circles, it's the ripping of blame as an option and shame thoughts as an option. It's just not there for the initiated man. So this is a reminder, this fucking works. This approach has been at the epicenter of, I own my shit, False modesty, I don't believe in it. It's like I've a lot done, a lot more to do. Am I perfect? No. In fact, at the core of this episode is like I on some levels totally fucking screwed up deep intimate relating and connection with my queen over the last week or two. So not perfect, but this entire perspective has been at the epicenter of my pretty dramatic and sensational marriage turnaround. Some of you have listened in, you know the story. Other of you that are new, and you're very welcome to it. The audience is always growing, so I always want to welcome in you guys. You'll know, it's 4 years ago, marriage breakdown, breakthrough, wife falls in love with another man. I had to step up, and I realized in that moment, blaming her anymore was useless. Shaming myself, I made like a declaration to my queen, to myself, to the universe, I'm not going to beat the shit out of myself anymore. That's not to say the blame thoughts have stopped showing up, and shame thoughts have stopped showing up. I stopped following them. The masculine practice is being conscious, is being consciousness, embodied consciousness, aka presence. The witnessing awareness that sees the entire inner world and can make a choice and go, well, that those thoughts are beaten, trying pretending to beat the shit out of my queen. If I follow those, that never ends up good. So I won't add any more thoughts to them. Shame thoughts, they'll come up. Beating the shit out of myself, not going to do it. It's not that they don't come up. So vicariously, I'm going to invite you in on what my experience has been. It's been like really intense the last week or two. Putting it forward like as a case study. In any great medical studies or professional studies, you'll have case studies where, the shit hits the storm, but what does the surgeon do to bring it around? The shit hits the storm on the building site, architect, project going amiss. What does the architect do? Whatever that is. This is what I'd say is, it's not a perfect example or a perfect embodiment of it, but radically brought back connection at the end of it. I'll give the context. What I'm wanting and what I'm inviting you is vicariously feel in as you're coming on this journey with me, how would you deal with that, or how do you normally deal with conflicts? So the conflict that I had with my queen, it was like the epicenter where it all boiled out to the surface. It was a few days ago where like a lot of messy shit came through. The messy first draft of my queen, there had been a build-up of tension, but when it flooded out from her, it was like, you just haven't been present, and I'm giving you sort of the polite version of it. You haven't fucking touched me in a week. Like, you haven't been near me. You've stopped looking at me. You're just not looking at me. Sensual Sunday, we have Sensual Sunday and Tantra Thursday. There are, I think some guys call them sex dates, where we just call them that. We like those names, but it's like when we have scheduled lovemaking. It's like Sensual Sunday was way below average. She was like, radical emphasis on the below average. It was not like my best performance at all. And she's like, and Tantra Thursday was just total shit. Which it was. It's pretty much non-existent. My nervous system didn't have anything available to me. And I was in the middle of all this. I was having a quite a big exacerbation of symptoms of asthma. It's like, and your asthma is just upper limiting. Upper limiting is a psychological thing that when you start experiencing a lot of success, which I've been really experiencing in my professional endeavors here in podcasts and especially Heroic Husbands Men's Circles and one-on-one clients, it's just upper limiting. And there was other stuff, but it was all stinging, and it was all sort of like complete, like you just haven't. Like I haven't, it sort of, it was a pure feminine, radical, fierce feedback where it's like what David Ida says, the feminine women aren't liars, but they tell what is true to their emotional experience in that moment. So on many levels, it's like as I was listening, What I would have done before is like the blame toss. I would have got into analysis with her. It's like, hey, baby, you're saying I haven't touched you, but like, remember there today, like I touched you at the sink, and remember like yesterday, you know, like I actually gave you, I went all the way across the room and I gave you a hug, and I would have got into argument. I would have got into analysis. Fishgill, this week, he's the guest episode. He was saying like analysis exacerbates conflict. I would have got into analysis, and a lot of analysis is blame. It's like, hey, you're wrong there. I've actually been making these efforts. Hey, you know, I haven't touched you. Hey, I've stopped looking at you. I was eye gazing you at lunchtime today. Analysis, argumentative, getting into right and wrong, getting into, yeah, there's a partial truth, but fuck me, it's like it's not always, and it hasn't been 2 weeks, it's like been a few days, and all of this type analysis, like there is tons of potential blame escapes for me. I'm going to give some of them, and as I am, you know, and in this conflict, part of it to give a background, like I had a week or two where, yeah, there was a lot of stuff, and I will go into the bird's eye view when I go into the claim. The part of what am I not taking extreme ownership of when I start answering that. I had had quite the exacerbation of asthma, and when that happens, it's like I wasn't sleeping well at night. My medication wasn't really working as effectively as it could have. And it's like not sleeping, my breathing being tight, it's like that's my nervous system being tight, and it's like empathy wasn't available to me. It was like a really profoundly shitty, like physiological bodily experience I was going through, amongst many other things. So the scene was set for definitely for myself, old style, full blame whore. Why? Because I had a victimhood part, this entitled. Inner child, the boy bitch energy, you know, entitlement. It's like, you know, I'm in the shit. Mommy should be loving me. You know, I'm in such suffering here. You like, why are you not nurturing me? This entitlement energy would come true. Potential blame escapes. That, yeah. So some of these actually showed up in my mind as I was doing this episode, just writing it out. I sort of went through. It's like. Yeah, there were some of these present, but what would my old mind go? But like, in general, it's like, oh my fucking God! Like, do you know how fucking hard this is? You know what I was going through? It's like you're giving me all of this harsh, unfair criticism. Fuck, you know, like it's like you've never experienced asthma. You know, clearly, you know, you can give me all this. You give me all your shit. Like you can get like your self-centered stuff. You can give all this like shit that I'm not doing. Which I am actually doing some of. You're just telling me that it's zero when it's not zero. You know, it's like nasty. You wake up because, you know, I'm coughing. Yeah, you know, sorry for the interruption, but it's like I can't fucking breathe. You know, it's like there's a big difference. Again, blame energy, making her wrong for her experience. And, you know, some of this was present. Some of these thoughts did come up. I want to make that clear with you. Again, guys, the big mistake we make is we sort of try to get perfect first and then we'll be a great husband. Self-mastery is not being perfect. Self-mastery, like people that reach exceptionally high levels, their self-mastery is based on they get really present with what's coming up in their mind and they consciously decide to follow some thoughts and not others. They'll submerge into some feelings and not others. They will go with the thoughts and the feelings that they know will serve what love wants to do in the moment. Now, love, you know, the love of Michael Jordan in the moment in the basketball, that's like to fucking slam dunk and, you know, win the match. But the love of a heroic husband is like whatever serves love, whatever transmits a message of love through my system, you follow those thoughts. Blame thoughts are never going to be there. You're not looking for perfection, you're looking for practice in this. You know, like parts and my queen had said other stuff. It's like, she, for fuck's sake, like, you know, you get super successful, you know, in heroic husbands, men's circles. Guys have been signing up. You had more application calls than ever before. And this is how you respond, for God's sake. You know, it's like you get a bit busy, get over yourself. There was a lot of like high flame sting coming from her. A blame escape for me. It's like, hey, I'm busy with work. Well, you'll find, okay, I'm temporarily lacking my normal presence, which is normally exceptionally high, but it's like, fucking, how many arguments have we had about financial security and how much pain and how much, has that, have you been surfing and the girls been surfing? It's like, I'm finally, I'm actually showing up. There was a lot of stuff there that I could have and definitely in the past would have followed. So the thoughts were there. I just did not follow them. Yeah, part of it was definitely this a thought of, some tenderness when you see me suffering. It'd be nice if you were tender. Then thoughts of blame of like, how fucking self-centered can you be? I mean, every single thing that you're, saying to me and raising your voice and you're so angry and pissed off and rageful, but it's like, that's all self-centered. Like, where the fuck am I in the middle of that? Jesus Christ. I know in the past, good old one, I haven't this on the list, but like a great one, it's just been so long since I've done it. It's like, compare her to her mother and her grandmother. Her lineage of, there's like a real shitty lineage. But it's like, blame her. It's like, oh, you're just as bad as your mom, which is like the ultimate insult. My queen has a podcast called, Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers. Compare her to her mother, it's like the ultimate one. But it's that was definitely there in the past. My thinking, no matter how bad it is now, doesn't really come up at this point. And yeah, then blame. I mean, total victimhood. If I really wanted to crank it up, it's like, oh, you could be sensitive. It's coming up to my mother's anniversary. I mean, it's the last few months, just 2 years ago. I mean, I had a trip up to my dad's, and memories came back of like doing the trip up and back, like three, four, five times a week, when my mom had stomach cancer. It's like that's been playing in my system as well. So there's tons of blame that was there, tons of could have been and that would have been there in the past. I'm just giving you an idea, guys. I've been deep into this work 4 years now. Men's work every single week, breath work, meditation, reading books, listening to like conversing with epic experts all around the world. I've fucking thousands of hours, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours and tons of money invested into it, tons of training, coaching, etc., etc., etc. And my nervous system still kicks this shit up. The shame thoughts could have been, it's like 3 years of trying to overcome asthma with breath work, and I'm just a total fucking failure. Like there is that can be quite live with me. It's like I've so much effort, and I'm still, still getting caught up like this, still fucking up. When is my pain and suffering ever going to end? There's a lot of that backstory there. Growing up, sort of believing that suffering is an inherent part of the human experience, and to wish and to think and believe I can go beyond. Like, who the fuck am I? Thoughts of you're weak as a man, and generically, like, who the fuck do you think you are to? And like, anything can be added in there. That's one of my classic shame thoughts. Who the fuck do you think you are to overcome asthma? Who the fuck do you think you are to pretend that you can do the podcast, hero husbands, do all of this, be a great husband, be all of that? Who the fuck do you think you are? Who the fuck do you think you are to be in a podcast and talk this shit to guys around the world, try to inspire them? That's a real voice of my older brothers coming in there. So plenty of shame thoughts that were coming up as well. In all of this, in this episode, I'm going to go more bird's eye view with the claim thoughts. I have spoken before in Heroic Husbands, Men's Circles, and one-on-one coaching, and I have other episodes on this. The guys do a whole five pillars. The signs of heart closure, reflections, journaling reflections, super deep dive. New wave of guys have done them. Like, it's amazing what comes out. You start seeing the evidence of, we're constantly transmitting a message that's evoking a response. But if you don't reveal all of this sort of emotional, psychological sewage that's stuck in your pipes that comes through, it becomes radically obvious. Like, when you're transmitting a message that is fueled by thoughts of blame or thoughts of shame, the response you're going to evoke is going to be pretty fucking shit. If you're beating the shit out of yourself, your entire message is going to be like, slump forward, poor me, poor boy, you know, crawled up in a corner type energy, where your queen is going to want to fucking slap your face. And she's either going to, she probably in the beginning was like motherly, but being motherly to a husband is not, you know, the mother maternal instinct is meant to be with children, funny enough, motherly, you know, maternal instinct. It's not with your husband, who's meant to be kingly, who manly, taking extreme ownership. So if there's a lot of unchecked shame thoughts that you're beating the shit out of yourself and you're feeding them more and more and more, and you're getting stuck into a shame downward spiral, it's repulsive. Your boy energy that is yearning for the mother energy to be loved and nourished, you're going to feel disrespected and alienated and hurt as a result of that, and resentful because your wife isn't loving you. But it's like, she doesn't want to be your fucking mom, and she energetically doesn't want to do that. She might have in the beginning, but it gets repulsive at some point. And blame thoughts, man, the fuck you sort of etched in your forehead and in your tone of voice, clearly that's not going to evoke a response that's going to be of use for your marriage. So in revealing this, you know, this is me 4 years into really profoundly deep into this work, my whole life aligned behind it, doing more and more to get better at this. But these blame thoughts come through me and these shame thoughts come through me. But what happens there in the background, and now I was like profoundly, I was struggling to be present. I was giving my 10 out of 10, but it's to explain, not to excuse. There was no excuses here. I did not allow, within reason, there was like some slips. It wasn't perfect, but the 100% intention was, don't let blame come out through my mouth. Don't follow, keep, get stuck in shame. The entirety of it, getting this stinging feedback, working 10 out of 10 to access whatever presence was available. And like, it's your 10 out of 10 presence that is available in the moment is what you're playing with. Some moments is easier. Some moments is fully, you know, you're well rested. For me, well rested, done yoga, eating well, breathwork working, no asthma, you know, all of this stuff in together. It's like, man, with my experience in the way of life, it's fucking easy. Like my queen, and this was the pain for my queen, was, and she ended up telling me this afterwards when I finally dropped in and I quadrupled down in taking extreme ownership and turning around the tightening of the asthma. I did like way more breath work and got shit happening. She was like, Mark, it's just, I've got so used to you being so consistently present and being like trigger happy, ready. You're omnipresent. Your leadership is always there with the girls, with me, around the home. It's like, and it's just such a shock to the system now that, you know, what was happening within you, it's like, that leadership went. And it's like, I can understand it. She's like, she was really trying to understand it, but it's like, it was such a shock to her system to feel that she had to take on all of this leadership again. She was doing it in the past. She's like, in the past, I got used to doing it. There was a hopelessness, but I you know, it was, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. But it's like, that devil has sort of long gone. And all of a sudden, she had to take leadership, get into her masculine, and that was a real shock to her system. So there's all these shame thoughts and blame thoughts in my nervous system. And like, touch base with yourself, guys. You know, what's your conflict? Now I'm talking about deep heart closure conflict. What's your blame, shame and claim ratio? Blame thoughts are thoughts against your queen, against the situation. Shame thoughts are thoughts against you. And claim thoughts are taking extreme ownership, asking the question, or your version of it, like, what am I not taking extreme ownership? And then you go after that thought. Some guys fuck around and they say that they've like a high percentage, like 10, 15, 20% of claim thoughts. Unless you're deep into this work, you know, one good claim thought eliminates shame thoughts and blame thoughts. When I define it like that, guys get real and go, yeah, actually, when you define it like that, fuck, very few, if any, true claim thoughts. There's varying different aspects. Some guys are more heavy on the beating the shit out of themselves. No right or wrong in this. Some others protect their hidden, undealt with shame. They protect behind a barrage of, you know, predominant blame thoughts. There's no right or wrong in this. But just get real with yourself, you know, even just do a verbal. You can even speak it out and go, hey, you know, like, I'm more 60-70% blame thoughts, 20-25% of the others, and like a few claim thoughts that I try but struggle to follow up with. Get real. Reveal to yourself. Reveal within your nervous system. Your brain, your cranial brain, heart brain, gut brain, they're always listening. So if you can get real, even when you're listening here, I'm not there present with you. I communicate as much as I can. Like, there's thousands of guys are there in the space. Get real within yourself. So all of this is coming up. My queen has sort of bombarded me with all of this. You know, I call it feedback. It's feminine feedback. She's royally pissed. It comes out, she's actually has been deeply concerned. She ended up, you know, when I somehow softened and I came like really present with her, she ended up bursting into tears. She was actually deeply, deeply concerned. Her heart was yearning for me to be better so I could take leadership, but she's deeply concerned actually for my health. Like, what if I actually died? What if this fucking, you know, she's had many, many, many years where I wasn't fully minding myself and like not literally purple in the face, albeit she says sometimes it seemed like I was purple in the face. You know, rushing off to the doctors to get support to breathe again. I mean, it's pretty fucking dramatic. This was going through her human experience, but that's a part of my slow but sure maturing as a man in life, death in marriage, is that there's a truth, that there was a truth in what my queen was experiencing. So the blame thoughts is like, they're invalid. They're always invalid. They like, don't go with them. There's some truth. She was going through a lot of stuff. So thankfully, predominantly was not perfect. With the clogged up feel, like my nervous system in some ways suffocating, not being able to breathe. It's like empathy wasn't available. I was speaking that in my men's group this week. It's like all of the stuff that normally is just trigger happy and available. It's like I couldn't use the arsenal of tools that's available to me to truly empathize, to truly listen, to truly be fully with her, to feel into her experience. I was struggling to feel anything in myself. One major thing I did was I didn't share with my queen how bad I was feeling on the inside. My heart was yearning for, the intention was that she wouldn't feel the amount of worry, but obviously it's like the polar opposite happened. She ended up being drastically worried about me because it was quite bad. So with the shame thoughts and the potential blame thoughts, you know, by and large, 99.9% of the time, those blame thoughts take control of your tongue, right? Or the shame thoughts take control of your entire system, and you might just stonewall and go into feeling bad and sorry, and the conflict escalates. Blame thoughts, you throw shit. Shame thoughts, you know, you can hide behind blame thoughts. It gets really fucking messy. And you hurt, and you suffer massive heartbreak, because I know most guys really resonate with this, where, you know, the blame takes over your tongue, but there's so much love there. But like, what comes through your tongue, what comes through your mouth, just like evokes this response of like massive pain and rejection of your queen. And it's like, your greatest heartbreak is, how the fuck do I get all of this love that I have for this beautiful woman, but how do I get it out through like 3, 4, 5 decades of pain and suffering? You know, because what comes out is not loving. It's definitely not received as being loving, no matter what our intention is. The point is, guys, shame and blame thoughts, they're okay. It's natural to have them, having grown up in a profoundly sick society, but you're never going to transform your marriage if you allow yourself to follow up with shame thoughts. Get stuck in a spiral of shame thoughts. Get stuck in a spiral and, you know, follow and add to blame thoughts. Go away in the car or be there as your woman is speaking to you. You're not listening. She's all you're hearing is yeah, 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 as your head is just going, you fucking bitch, like you're not considering me. How often does that happen to you in conflict? I will say in the last few days, like in that conflict, because my nervous system was under such pressure and stress with the flare up of asthma, I wasn't like the full listening. My practice though was just don't let it get control of your tongue too much, if at all. So what I want you to, and this is not to impress you, like I on some levels, I radically fucked up, but to fuck up, I don't let that sponsor shame and beat the shit out of myself. Great performers, great leaders, they fuck up all the time because you're putting yourself out into, you know, I'm showing up as a husband, I'm showing up in my podcast, I'm showing up in parenting, I'm showing up in life in more expansive ways than ever before. I would say there's like the challenges of expansion and the challenges of stagnation. Stagnation, challenges of stagnation. Every man is going to have challenges, inner challenges and outer world challenges. But the challenges of stagnation are the same shit, different day. Like cyclically having arguments, cyclically having poor, shitty sex, etc., etc. Challenges of expansion are a better zone. You know, it's better to be Conor McGregor having made so much money and created so much success that you don't know what the fuck to do with yourself anymore. You know, it's like rather than never having acted in your dreams and you have challenges of poverty, inward challenges, I'd rather create challenges of expansion. And my greatest challenge is to get my nervous system up to speed with that level of expansion and success. That's for me is the kingly way. When I ask the question of myself internally, it's like, what am I not taking extreme ownership of? You know, the feedback, my queen, it was stinging. It felt red hot and I was struggling to hold space for it. But my mind goes into default asking that question. Well, what am I not taking extreme ownership of? I'm going to go more bird's eye view of the entire situation. I have spoken before quite a bit about what to do in the conflict as it's live, communicational dynamics, getting present. I more want to demonstrate my process of how I reap most of the value out of conflict. And conflicts do happen in marriage, no matter how good, even they happen. Conflicts happen in great teams. You know, you have great teams. They're winning, they're winning, they're winning. And then a conflict comes up. Something happens and the entire dynamics are upset. What does the team do? What does the leader do at that point? Will determine how great that team actually performs over the length of time. You know, the, what they call it, I'm forgetting the name, Jackson. He was the coach of the Chicago Bulls and then the Lakers. I mean, Phil Jackson, I believe. Beautiful character, amazing leader. Conflict, he was amazing in conflict. He could bring connection out of any conflict and keep the team cohesively playing together with all of these different dynamics. It's family leadership as well. It's marital leadership. It's leadership in any form. What you do with conflict, what you do with upset, what do you do with that? You know, when you're stuck in mediocrity, you just go with blame and shame, you beat the shit out of yourself and you have cyclical bullshit marital experiences and your wife drop kicks you. Or you drop kick your wife saying, I'm blaming her, she's such a bitch, she used to be nice, where's the nice woman gone? You get married again and then 65% instead of 50%. First time marriages, 65% of second time marriages fail as well. You know, oh, I'm so blame, I'm so self-righteous, I'm so right, I'm so right, I'm so right. I'll pick a different woman, same shit happens. Why? Because it's the asshole shadow in you that you're not taking care of. It's the uninitiated part that you're going with shame thoughts and blame thoughts and you're fucking up marriages and you're fucking up your life, ultimately. Initiated men, it's 100% claim. So, when I went bird's eye view, it's like, what am I not taking extreme ownership of? I was like, my thinking goes, guys, okay, the conflict is now. My queen is hammering my nervous system with this feedback. It's red hot. A lot of blame thoughts. It's feeling unfair. Blah, 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 blah. But it's like, okay, zoom out. I consciously, psychologically, in that moment, zoom out from what's happening in that moment. I take the heat off. Okay, she's giving me feedback. Cool. It's generic feedback. Don't go with the details. I'm getting feedback from my queen that I have not been present. That's it. I'm not showing up as a leader. Cool. What, when I zoom out, I'm like, I zoom out for sometimes it's a number of hours, like that day leading up to that. But I could recognize as I like, hold on, there's this asthma, there's this whole thing. I need to zoom out for the last week or two. And in fact, she was saying it's been a number of weeks. And my question is, what am I not taking extreme ownership of in the last couple of weeks? And you'd find in my analysis, it actually can go back months, if not years. There are always dominoes leading up in your life to the conflict, to what was present or not present in your nervous system as you entered into that day when the conflict happened. And if, in my experience, like there's a lead up, if there's like a real shitty period where probably there's multiple conflicts, a shitty period, a one-off conflict in one moment, or a shitty period in your marriage. If you have the courage and the kingliness to go back, bird's eye view, you will see dominoes that you have not been taking extreme ownership of. To let you in my thinking, conflict happens. There's been a lead up. I was putting it all on asthma, all on this, and it's like I'm. But where did my thinking go to? It's like, well, it came true for the asthma part, man. A friend reached out. He wanted support. He's part of the homeschooling community he that we're a part of with the girls, and he was having visitors coming over. He was building, self-building an extension to his house, but he had like 24, 36 hours to get a massive room ready for these visitors who were coming for a week, and he asked me for support putting a floor down. I fucking loved it. Two guys, masculine together. Fucking shut the fuck up. We just got down, got doing DIY work. I'm normally working in front of a computer, so it's like I love these opportunities when I just get fucking manly and like active and vigorously working and working with another guy that I know and love. Fucking love that time. But we got at it, and like what was meant to be 2 hours, we were there like 5, 6 hours later, and I got up early the next morning and said, "Man, hey, I'll go back," and I did another 3 hours with him. Beautiful. I didn't wear a face mask, and it's like I should know better. That was mission critical to my capacity to show up as a leader in my marriage. As a result of not doing that, I believe, and it was actually being curious and asking the question, it was my queen that said, "Mark, Jesus, like you didn't wear, there's a lot of dust in that day. You were doing a lot of sewing." It's like, Mark, when I stepped into the room that day when we were in Kevin's house, I mean, there was a lot of dust in that room, and you were the one doing all the sewing. And honestly, guys, it's like, wow, what a blind spot. It's so fucking obvious, but I didn't wear a mask. And knowing my nervous system, it's like I could get away with it on the day, but it has happened like that with me before. It's like, it's that night, or it felt like I had a few days where it just had flared up really bad. So that was number one. It's like, okay, well, my claim thoughts shifts to when I realize that, well, if any time in future I'm doing a DIY job where there's lots of cutting, sewing, and dust, then, I'll purchase a high quality face mask that's there at the ready. So be it at a friend or here, it's done. That's my if then. So there's an awakening. It's a claim thought. It's like, wow, I gra express gratitude to my queen. That's a great point. It's like it's so obvious when you point it out. I hadn't picked up that that was such a trigger. And in fact, for the 4 or 5 days since that job, it's like every single night I wasn't sleeping. And it was like really shitty, which deeply affected my capacity to show up and be present. Other things were I questioned. It's like I was having quite a bit of sort of headaches and tightness in my jaw and neck muscles. And it just came to the surface. It's like, wow, I've an undealt with tooth filling. I got lots of dental work done. Tail end of last year, actually, and I was scheduled for one final. There was a temporary filling put in, one final filling to do. There's lots of different work done, Actually, a podcast episode came on. It was like whatever. There was a double booking, and I went with the podcast guest. It was like an important guest. I was meant to reschedule, and just no pain. It's like I forgot about it ultimately. But there was this part of me going, man, I haven't dealt with that, and I know before when there's been certain dental issues, this sort of non-specific, back of sort of tension comes in my jaw that is like non-specific, and then when I got dental work done, it went. I'm like, wow. So again, no shame, no blaming, no beating the shit out of myself. It's like, wow, okay, I booked it in, put it in accountability in my men's group. It's like, okay, I'm gonna do that. So booked in, we'll get sorted. I also looked, it's like, okay, there's a lot of tension and stuff. I was like, I haven't been consistent in yoga recently. And I know when I do yoga consistently, my body feels better. A lot of computer work, as I've been saying, so I need to, flex that muscle, literally, the yoga muscle, and get more disciplined. So I looked at that and went, okay. And then when I was looking now, I was like, yeah, but you've been really fucking tired. You can't beat the shit out of yourself. Your body has been exceptionally tired in the last week or two. So I was like, okay, lack of consistency in yoga, that's a long-term thing. I could have more momentum. There was commitments to do more yoga, but it was another one of my claim. I'm like, okay, I'll establish that. But now I'm getting really curious, and a lot of things are showing up. I hope you can. This might seem boring to some of you. I know, like, some of the masculine mindset can be, just give me the fucking strategy, Mark. Like I said it there recently, like about appreciation. I've said it before. If it's black and white, just give me a strategy. I'll appreciate my woman and live happily ever after. But there's a complexity to it, and this is I'm slowing down on this to let you know this is great leadership. You've got to look into the entire ecosystem of your lived experience and find out ultimately what needs you're not meeting in your nervous system that leads up to this background, shitty, resentful, hard, triggery, harsh energy in your nervous system that leads to the conflict. Where you get into conflict repeatedly, you just blame your queen. You blame her. She's just losing. I've lost the love, and she's such a bitch to me. She never appreciates me. But, like, man, this is what an heroic husband does. He has the courage to go, I'm not going to blame my queen. She's giving me feedback. I'm a fucking leader. This is why I lead with every episode. It's like, hey, kingly brothers and heroic husbands. And guys sort of like feel. It's like, oh, the fist pump. Yeah, man. Heroic husband. It's like, oh, fuck yeah. Ah, I'm a king. I've heard that in men's work. Guys speaking about, oh, yeah. Oh, you're such a king, man. And then you hear them share. And I'm like, dude, that's not fucking kingly. You're fucking blaming life. You're shaming yourself. You're beating the shit out of your woman psychologically. It's like, what? That, like, it's easy to say the word king. I bring you back. I lead with, hey, kingly brothers and a heroic husband, so you'll identify from there. But when you identify from there, a king looks at the entire ecosystem of his lived experience and figures out what the fuck is happening, that his performance in his marriage with the most important woman in the world, why it's going to conflict. It's like a peak performance. It's like anybody in peak performance. Like the great performers, they don't. I heard of the example of Kobe Bryant, where he's like he airballed it. I think it was his first professional season. It was like they were going really, really good, but then in like one of the most important games nearing the end of his first season, he airballed five shots in a row on national TV. Like he's meant to be the new, Michael Jordan, and it's like Jordan never airballed, five shots in a row in the most important part of the season. Kobe was like, hey, I'm not going to beat the shit out of myself. It's like, get the fuck over. Get the fuck over yourself. He actually says in the interview, it's like, at sometimes you just got to get the fuck over yourself. He's like, he analyzed it. When he analyzed the five shots, he's like, every single shot was perfectly on target in the sense of it was online. It was perfectly online. So it's like, it was not an accuracy issue. He's like, he just looked bird's eye view, like I'm doing here. He's like, that's the type of thing that lesser men, it could have ruined their career because, like, he was the embarrassment of the NBA temporarily, but lesser men would get sucked into that and then their entire career could be fucked up as of that. Like, oh, I'm useless. All their self-doubts. No. Kobe was like, no, I did the analysis. It's like my fitness wasn't there for the duration of the NBA season. It's like all other seasons were shorter. There was less games. It's like I didn't have the strength and fitness to keep. It was a strength issue. I didn't have the fitness in my arms to actually launch it that length. And it's like, hence, it came up short, like at the end of the game, at the end of the season. So it was kingly, but you will see that Kobe Bryant did the exact same type of thing. It's like his moment of conflict was five air balls, like fucked up the season for the Lakers, blah, blah, blah. The whole world is saying, you're a piece of shit. You're no way are you the new Michael Jordan. You're an embarrassment, blah, 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 blah. Like, the world can loves to beat the shit out of people. Definitely the sporting world and the commentating world. But can you see, I bring in the Kobe idea because fucking leaders do this, guys. I want to get to the core. Like, listen up. Initiated men, leaders that men and women and children will surrender into, trust, fully trusting being led by them. And that, again, asterisks, it doesn't mean that your woman, that your queen does not lead. My queen leads ferociously. She leads ferociously, and the feedback is actually one of the things, but she leads in many different things. But she wants to know that I'm there, I'm ready to lead. But like, Kobe wasn't leading his team on that day because he had yet to find out what the Achilles heel in his ecosystem was. This is where it's black box thinking. So it's looking for the Achilles heel. So there was the installing the wooden floor. There was the face mask. There was the tooth filling. There was the lack of consistency of yoga, which brought my thinking to go, yeah, but you have to be getting up in the morning time, which is my regular time for yoga in the past, because you're being really tired. Then I went, it's like, okay, well, I've had unmet sleep needs. And then I was like, well, what have I not taken extreme ownership of that? Well, it's like I was actually, there was a blame energy. I was like, fuck, my girls, they don't, we have to be very leadership oriented in the family to keep things structured because they don't have the structure of school. They can get up whenever they want within reason. So it's like, it's, and when I looked at that, it was sort of rumbling on for 6 or 7 or 8 weeks, whereas like the nighttime wasn't happening and I was struggling to get them to bed. We had a great structure during the summer. We went on holidays and it sort of slipped from then. But I was struggling to inspire them. I actually got caught unwittingly and I was requiring them. I was like, girls, I need to get up. I was like, I'm just not getting enough sleep. But it was coming from a require energy, not inspire. And the inspiring idea that came, but it came slowly, was fuck, we'll just have dinner earlier. I had to negotiate with my queen and shift of ecosystem, but we was like, let's have the dinner earlier and we'll have a game of Uno, we'll have playtime afterwards. There was no problem. Instead of my girls sort of delaying, their dinner, which was to meet their need of, hey, dad is doing a lot during the day, but like at dinner time we have him like completely there. It's like, of course they were delaying eating their dinner and like snacking more. And, oh, mom, can I have more of that? And, oh, I just want to get a thing of bread. It's like delaying and delaying. Why? It was frustrating me. Wasn't meeting my need, but they were meeting a natural need to have playtime with me, to have me fully present with them as a sacred time of their day. My extreme ownership thinking went, dude, you took like 5 or 6 weeks to come up with that simplest of all ideas, which was, and it had worked in the past, so you even had a precedent experience of it. It's like, get fucking Uno going. It's like, hey girls, in the first evening I said, hey girls, we're gonna have dinner a bit earlier, but like, if you finish up your dinner, like in a timely manner, you don't have to rush, but like half hour is pretty much good to get your dinner. It's not a 5-course meal. Half hour, does that seem reasonable? I was like, yeah. Man, after 20 minutes they were finished their dinner and we played Uno for, we played 5, 6, 7 games of Uno, lots of laugh, lots of fun, lots of curses, actually fucking each other out of it, and like sick, but like great family time. Problem solved. Getting to bed. Part of like, and what this has to do with conflict is I had a lead up of not having my sleep needs met and trying to, I ended up sleeping in quite a bit, which stopped my yoga, which tightened up my body more, which you can see it's like, yeah, was it not wearing the face mask, or was it a mix of not wearing the face mask and not having my sleep needs met? So my nervous system is feeling under stress, not having my, like, sleeping in. Now I'm stiff. Now there's stiffness in my, musculoskeletal system, which I can't breathe fully expansively. And like all of this together ended up leading, all of these dominoes leading to my nervous system not being fully present, not being soft, not being like masculine, strong spine, soft front with my queen, which none of her deepest feminine needs of feeling seen, heard, and safe were being met to a level that she had been had become accustomed to. So it's like this entire lead up, there's all of these factors coming in. I didn't take extreme ownership, and I could have, should have, like, got that change and transformation happening quicker. I got into a bit of victimhood. Then there's other parts where, as a result of like challenge of expansion, I had to look at, well, work, because my queen was giving me feedback. It's like, oh, for Christ's sake, like, you're like, she gave me feedback. It's like, is this what success in work is going to mean, going to look like? And I'm like, man, it's like, hey, there's been a spectacular increase. It's the snowball is moving. It's like there was an influx of new guys to Heroic Husbands Men's Circles just last week. The week before that, there was like a ton of application calls for that, and like reaching out to guys, tons of admin. It's like my admin emails, like tying up loose ends, multiplied by four or five in the space of 2 weeks. So I had to look at that and go, I actually made some mistakes. One of the guys ended up showing up on a wrong date, and there was an annoyance in that experience for him. I had to apologize, and there was a clearance conversation to be had as a result of the domino. And there was other things that happened in the midst of that where it was an additional stress to my nervous system. Now, that's the challenge of expansion. But taking the claiming of ownership, extreme ownership, remember the blame thoughts were, hey, I mightn't be fully present, but like, I am meeting the financial needs of the family now. You've been giving me shit and that. Like, I could have went with the blame thought, but it was like, shut the fuck up, Mark. She's right. She has a justifiable fear that if a fuller schedule fucks you up like this, that can't happen long term. It's queenly feedback. Yes, it was messily, done. That's queen. It's unapologetic. It's in your face. I have to, your job is to decipher the message of what's truly being given. Feminine feedback is always, is feminine feedback. If you, how you perceive it will tell you how your nervous system works. That's your greatest control. It was great feedback. On the back of that, I am in looking into different services to set up a virtual assistant so that all the shitty ends of admin that I don't like doing, it's a stress for me, time zones and setting up meetings and emails and all the minutiae, the details. I just want to fucking show up and do like podcasts and have powerful conversations and, do my coaching and men's work. I'm getting on that. But this is all coming from conflict. What I want you and your entire mindset to get is, when you do conflict in this style, as a leader, you identify, I'm a fucking leader. I want every single one of you, and in this profoundly sick society, dude, this is not put out there, but you are one of the most important leaders on this planet at the moment. I believe that passionately in my core. This flies completely in the face of, like, definitely since Industrial Revolution times, when it's like the man's role in society is to be a serving, productive, profit creating member of the workforce. The woman is at home, get out and produce. Mining times, fucked into the factories, like, put up, shut up, shut your emotionality up and get producing, get profitable, provide for your family. Like, it became, you're solely a provider for the family. You're not the producer. You're not the leader. You're not the, the masculine heart of the family. No, you're the provider. You do it external. Your mission is in the outside world. Shut your emotions off, get producing, create profits, and that's what you do. this is really in the face of a century and a half or more of poisonous conditioning. I'm saying to you guys, the one of the most beautiful and sacred opportunities for humanity now lies with you guys individually and us all collectively coming together as a unstoppable masculine force of spiritual awakening energy. And it's only accessible when you start identifying with the importance of your leadership role in your family home. That's your fucking kingdom, man. You know, when all the profit is made, when all the experiences happen at work and all that has happened, who's going to be there at your deathbed? You know, do you not want, well, maybe she could go before you, but like if she's alive, outlives you, it's like you want your loving queen there. Tears in her eyes, tears of fucking joy. Your kids, tears of joy because they're there witnessing. I had this man as my husband. I had this man as my lover. I had this man as my dad. I'm fucking proud. I'm like, there's tears of joy, there's tears of gratitude because I had the blessing to have had my life cross his as a woman. I met him, we fell in love, and yeah, he went through challenges. Yeah, profoundly sick society. They don't want perfection, but they do want progress and they do want presence and they do want to feel protected by you. I've goosebumps all over me. My hair is standing up. It's like so fucking potent. I so want every single one of you to take that candle, that flame of masculine spiritual potentiality that this profoundly sick society fucking speaks nothing of. That candle flame of hope, you might call it, you know, depending on the tradition, what is it, Brahma, God, Christ consciousness, Buddha nature, and for all the beautiful traditions and words that I'm not using, use your own, man. Own that part. Or if you have some word that just life force, you know, life, energy, universal energy, whatever that is. Potentiality might be some non-religious tradition atheist, but it's like, hey, your human potentiality, whatever that wording is, that flame, you just set your entire life up to create a raging bushfire of potent energy through you. That is leadership. And you do that and you embody love through this paradigm. 0% blame. Stop blaming your queen. It's okay to have blame thoughts. Your practice is to catch the blame thoughts, realize it has never worked in the history of human connecting to let blame thoughts, you know, emanate in the background, even if they're not spoken, to just fucking ruminate in that shit all day long. Shame thoughts, beating the shit out of yourself. Hey, profoundly sick society, there's lots of wounding out there. I'm not saying you're a bad man or you're wrong of blame thoughts and shame thoughts. My nervous system was full of them. The practice is to snip them in the bud and not follow them. Not have them drive the vehicle of your mind. And from there, when conflict happens, and it's going to happen, you ask the question, what am I not taking extreme ownership for? It's like my queen is giving me feedback. Assume that it's going to be messy. She mightn't. Very often she's not going to land it in a very digestible manner. Are you man enough to hold presence for that and find the diamond in the rough of all her feedback? See it as feedback. It's not criticism. That's boy, bitch. You have to deal with mother wounds when you just incessantly see it as, oh, she's criticizing, she's putting me down. I always did. 12 years of marriage, and funny enough, my wife fell in love with another man who didn't perceive her like that. It's, your marriage isn't going to work, but it's leader perspective. And I really, in the core of this, I invite you, nay, my direct masculine challenge is that you take it upon yourself to establish, do whatever is necessary from this day forward. You're probably, if you're listening in, you're already identifying like this. Identify as a king. Identify as like, as a heroic husband. Like, what would a king do in this situation? What would an heroic husband do in this situation? What would a hero do in this situation? What would Kobe do? Kobe wouldn't sit in a corner feeling fucking sorry for himself. He wouldn't blame his other teammates or the fitness team that didn't have him supported. He did the fucking work himself. He claimed ownership, and he rests in history as one of the greats. Fucking beautiful example of potent masculine practice in a sporting endeavor, but beautiful nonetheless. It's beautiful. My thing is, like, embody that Kobe type spirit. I humbly say, if it works by you, if you feel inspired by me as a man, as an example, it's like, I'm not your fucking guru. I'm not perfect. I'm radically imperfect. But if you're like, what would Mark do? If that supports you, but my deepest thing, fuck Kobe and fuck Mark. What would you do, man? What would you do? Why would the hero, your heroic husband version, do? Because you are as powerful as any man that ever lived, any man that is now, and any man that will exist in the future. You are that powerful. It's only because of profoundly sick society bombarding your nervous system, my nervous system, with a bullshit message that we're small-minded. Fucking nothing could be further from the truth. But you got to claim that flame inside of yourself as your own, and it's only true rigorous practice of taking extreme ownership and claiming radical responsibility for your thinking, your talking, your taking action in the world, and your state of being, and designing your entire life around bringing that sacred flame that has always been there. If you're still alive, if you're listening in, that flame is there, man. That's why you're listening in, because there's some part of you saying there's some fucking greater existence available to you, to your queen, to your kids. And you take extreme ownership and you line everything up to getting that flame burning hot. Kingly warrior brothers and kings around the planet, this is one element. Bird's eye view, ask the question in every conflict, no matter how small, how big, what am I not taking extreme ownership of in the lead up to this conflict? In my nervous system, in meeting my needs, not meeting my needs, that had my nervous system sort of primed and ready for heart closure. What are the dominoes? Start looking at conflict like this, analyzing black box style like this. You will find your woman, your divine, beautiful queen, will be bragging about you, and you will be, whether she uses the words or not, the marriage transforming hero of your relationship very fucking soon, my beautiful brother. Sending amazing love, complete brotherly spiritual love from Roscommon, Ireland. So much love for you guys. I know it's fucking intense, the inner world, outer world, the challenges that you're experiencing. So much understanding and empathy. 0% sympathy. Why? Because you were born for fucking greatness. You can only do that by you and you alone inside of yourself and the inner realms of your inner kingdom going, I'm a fucking king. I'm going to start claiming extreme ownership of my entire reality. And from there, become the king you were born to become. In perfect alignment with the Mantra for Movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have a beautiful, beautiful kingly day.